morning here in the house of God to worship together. I know that it has been a crazy week. It's been a week full of panic and hysteria. I was telling Tony and the guys yesterday as we were working on the room at the college room, I don't know that there's ever been a more wild week in my lifetime. Maybe since 9/11, I guess, that I can remember. I just don't know that there's ever been a more wild week in my lifetime. I've seen people do crazy stuff. I didn't necessarily make any trips to the grocery store this week, but just seeing the parking lots, man, has been absolutely incredible for me to see. And I know that the things that they're worrying about, that everyone is worrying about, is a formidable foe for most people. If you're older or younger, maybe if you have different health issues that you're dealing with, it is a formidable foe. And I don't want to downplay the threat of what could happen. But what I've seen most of all that has concerned me, and probably you as well, is the response of people. And I've been, you know, just disturbed by the way that people have responded. Some have responded very selfishly, and they have reacted and hoarded, you know, all of the things that other people could have benefited from. And people have just added to the hysteria by, you know, fueling it on social media and the news media. And just all the reactions, I think, is what has overwhelmed me the most and possibly even scared me, much like it has you. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to focus around the idea of the Christian's response to panic. The Christian's response to panic. And so as I was thinking about this idea, and of course, I'm sure every preacher across the brotherhood is preaching a sermon this morning on the Christian and COVID-19. I've seen that topic on social media all over the place. So there's a lot of lessons being geared toward this, but I started to think about how I could incorporate maybe the events that are going on in our nation right now and how that could play into our Christian lives. Jonathan tried so hard yesterday to get me to preach an acrostic lesson of COVID, but we just couldn't come up with all the good words to make it fit, and it was a really last minute. So this is the message that we've gone with. About 2 weeks ago, I guess, maybe a week and a half ago, for some reason, I was thinking about this song. In fact, it was a little over a week ago. Last Saturday, there was a statement that was made. I was playing golf. There was a statement that was made that brought this song to my mind. And as I was playing, this song just kept going through my mind. But I didn't know the song, and I didn't know all the verses to the song. I just knew that it began with, "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side." That's all I knew. And I knew the tune of it because I'd heard it a couple of times at camp and other places, but I didn't know. So like every time, if I don't know a song, I'll go to YouTube and I'll type it in and I'll find a song or someone singing that song so that I can learn it. And so for 2 weeks now almost, I've been playing this over and over again in my truck because I love this song and I wanted to learn it. And it says, "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us and swallowed us alive, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord." That's Psalm 124 in a nutshell. Had it not been for the Lord. So what I want us to do this morning, examine three things that David brings out in Psalm 124 that might help us in a time of hysteria, in a time of panic. It's not going to take away the disease that's made a difference in people's lives. It's not going to solve it and make it go away, but I think it will help us in our response to what's going on around our nation. Three things. Number one this morning, I want us to notice that Psalm 124 teaches us, first of all, that we should magnify God. In times of confusion, in times of panic, when everyone's running around, when things are going bad, the first thing that we can do, or the best thing that we can do, is magnify God. Look at verse number one there in Psalm 124. Verse number one, it says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." Then he says, "Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side." I really appreciate David in this psalm because typically what I get the idea of David doing is two things. Number one, he wants to establish the fact that Israel's physical and spiritual well-being is in the hands of a very capable God. That whatever happens from this point forward, and everything that's even happened from that point backward, was in the hands of a very capable God. But number two, I think that David really wanted to amplify their gratitude toward this God. He wanted them to understand that the gravity of the situation in which they found themselves, the seriousness of the situation, was nothing to joke around about, and that they needed to know that God had brought them out of something that was extremely large and extremely dangerous and extremely threatening. And if it had not been for God, then they would have been as good as gone. And so I want us to think about just for a moment magnifying God. Now, the thing about it is, usually the Psalms will give us some sort of indication as to what event is behind the psalm that David is writing, or the sons of Korah is writing, or Moses, or whoever it is that penned this individual psalm. We know it was David in this one, but we don't know exactly which event fueled David's words. But most would guess that it was the events that took place in 2 Samuel 5. And I think that that is a good guess. I think the events fit very well. If you want to turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5, we won't read it in its entirety, but this is what happens. In the first six verses, Saul has now gone out of his lordship, out of his kingship. He's no longer ruling anymore. In fact, Saul is dead. And David has now been anointed king, and he's in the area of Hebron in verses 1 through 6 of 2 Samuel 5. David is rounding up all of his new subjects, if you will. He's rounding up all of the citizens in his kingdom, and he's trying to rally these individuals together. In about verse number 16 of 2 Samuel 5, the Philistines hear that David is now on the throne. And they've already overthrown Saul, and so they have this mindset, well, now David's on the throne, we're going to go get him, and we're really going to show Israel who's boss. We're going to go take Israel to town and let them know that they don't stand a chance against the Philistines. We're going to overrun them. We're going to completely wipe them out. So you know that if you read 2 Samuel 5, or maybe you remember back in your times of Bible study, what happens in 2 Samuel 5? David goes to fight the Philistine army. He takes his children of Israel army down to fight the Philistines, and guess what happens? David and his army prevail. In fact, the Lord prevails, more to the point. And that's what David wanted these people to understand. And you're going to see that as we go through this psalm, David starts to talk about what they were up against and how serious this was. And it's as if to say, guys, you need to understand me, that we won this battle not because of anything I did. And it would have been easy for David to feel that way, because David is the new king, right? And when you get in this situation, you know, sometimes it happens with new preachers or things like that. I've seen it in different places, and even when I've gone. Sometimes when you're the new guy, you know, some things get accomplished that you won't because people are trying to make you feel comfortable and things like that. David very could have easily could have taken that temptation to say, oh yeah, I'm the new king. We won this battle because of my leadership. Saul failed, but I didn't, and they could have praised him for that. Or the people could have been very easily tempted to say, oh, David, thank you so much for your great leadership, and you're leading us into war successfully. But David's saying, whoa, guys, hang on just a second. If it had not been for the Lord, and then look what he says, let all of Israel say, as if to say, okay, guys, everyone needs to understand, if it had not been for the Lord, we would have been swallowed up, chewed up, covered up, overwhelmed. We would have been undone, completely and utterly destroyed, if it had not been for the Lord. You say, Ty, what does that have to do with our nation's panic right now? I know this. I know that the very capable God that had that very dangerous and threatening situation under control is the same very capable God under which we serve today. And he's the same very capable God that can take situations in which people don't know where to go or don't know what to do and make something spectacular and amazing out of it for his glory. I'm not saying that people won't be hurt and affected by it, because they have and they will. But I do know this, that in times of situations where Christians and people are running just distraught like chickens with their heads cut off, right? Y'all say that in Alabama. In times where people are doing that, I say that we can never be wrong by magnifying God. David said, I want everyone to know. In a time where everyone's confused and worried about what's going to happen, God. If it had not been for God, we would have been overwhelmed. And I would say, up until this point, in 2020, this is not the first time something like this has happened. If it had not been for God, right? If it had not been for God. Number two, I would say that Psalm 124 points out the danger. David considers the danger. He magnifies it in a way that vividly depicts what they were up against. Now, here's why I think David does that. Because what happens is, even though Israel won that battle against the Philistines, they were tempted to say that, oh, we won this battle so great. The Philistines, they weren't nothing. They were nothing. And so sometimes what happens when we win a victory, we're very tempted to downplay the opponent, right? You see it in sports all the time. You go into this basketball game or whatever game it is, and you think that this is going to be a really good game. And then you end up blowing out the team by 20 points or 25 points, and you get into the locker room afterwards, and someone has the audacity to say, oh, they weren't that good after all. We were just a lot better. And what happens is they're downplaying the other side because of how great their victory was. David says, I do not want you to do that. I don't want you to do that because you don't understand how easily we could have been on the opposite end of the result of that war. In the ballgame, if there would have just been one different play call or one turnover or one more second left on the clock, the outcome could have been completely different. I want you to understand. The danger that we were facing was absolutely real, and you don't need to downplay it. Now, I'm not trying to exalt COVID-19 and make it seem like it's that much worse than it is, but what I want you to understand is, for some, this danger might be formidable. And I want us to know that in the face of formidable danger and a threat, there is a God, a very capable God, who has the ability to take our feelings of anxiety and confusion and make them into something spectacular for His glory. So let's see what David does then in verse number 3, all the way through verse number 7. He uses four different pictures to show these children of Israel the danger that you are facing is actually a real thing. Notice what he says there in verse number 4 beginning. Verse number 3. He says in verse number 2, when our enemies attacked us, verse 3, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, verse 6, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. For we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Picture number 1 in verse 3, he says that they would have swallowed us alive. I want to try to depict these examples in a way that will help us understand. And when I was in the school of preaching, for a short time, I had a pet snake. What happened is there was a guy who was also in the school of preaching with me who had children. They had their first child, and his wife said, it's the child or the snake. And so he didn't want to get rid of the child, so he got rid of the snake, and I volunteered to take it. And so I had a corn snake in my bedroom with me there at the school preaching. It was really nice. She would crawl all over you and stuff. The only time I ever lost her and I got scared was when she went in my pillowcase and I couldn't find her. I was scared she was going to eat me when I went to sleep. But anyway, other than that, that was the only time I was ever scared of this snake. But what I loved about this snake was that you could go to Petco, and this is going to sound really horrible, okay, but just stick with me for a second. You could go to Petco and buy those little white mice, right? And then you could go back to the house, and you could take the top off of that cage, and you could just dangle that mice over that cage, boy, and she would just go crazy. She was ready for that mouse. And you could drop that mouse in there and put the top on, and the mouse would run for just a second, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was gone. And I mean, it would swallow that thing while it was living. And it was incredible to watch. I mean, all the little kids from school would come. We'd be having a congregation in my bedroom so they could watch this snake eat that mice. You know, but he would swallow it alive. And basically what I want you to get is the fact that when David says that they would have swallowed us alive, what he's saying is that this is a picture of there being absolutely no contest. That mouse had absolutely no chance against that snake. What if I were to say that I'm going to put out a t-shirt order today? We're going to order t-shirts for Chisholm Hills Church of Christ. And then I put Mary Ellen in charge of that sign-up list. And Mary Ellen asked me, she says, Ty, what size t-shirt do you wear? And I say, I wear a 2X. Mary Ellen would look at me and she would say, that's ridiculous, Ty. That shirt would what? Swallow you whole. It would swallow you alive. That is, Ty, you don't measure up to the size of that shirt. You don't understand that you have no chance against that shirt. David says, you need to understand, Israel. They would have swallowed us alive. We had no chance against them. They were so much bigger than us. They were so much stronger than us. And that's what David wanted them to understand. Guys, the odds that were against us were beyond your comprehension. They were that much bigger than you had it not been for the Lord. But number 2, picture number 2, read on in verse number 4. He says the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Picture number two is this idea of the raging waters overwhelming you. I've never ever been personally impacted by raging flood waters. I know individuals that have. Even when we first moved here last year in February, I think it was, when all that flooded, and even recently we've had some flooding. I've never been personally impacted by that, or I've never been, I guess, a victim of that. I've never been caught up in the water when it was raging or anything of that nature. But one image that is very vivid in my mind was a couple of summers ago, we were over in North Georgia on the Ocoee River. We were whitewater rafting, and there were some individuals that were in these little personal kayaks. And they were going up the rapids as we were coming down them, and they were doing flips in the current of the rapid, letting the current push them and flip them over, and they were doing tricks, right? Well, there was this kid, maybe 14 years old, maybe, and he was coming up the rapid while we were going down, and we were in a big, huge raft, and his boat got sucked underwater by the current, and he was trapped under our boat. Literally, his kayak was wedged in between the bottom of the river and our boat. And we were stuck on the rocks, so we were going nowhere. And this young boy was stuck in a kayak under the boat, under the raging water. And we were freaking out. We had no clue what was going on. We didn't know where the kid was at. We didn't know how he was going to get out. And finally, our guide bails out of the boat and goes under the raft to get this kid out. And he eventually comes out okay. But I can't imagine the feeling of being under that water where it's just completely surrounded. You are completely inundated and deluged by this water, and it is rushing past you, and at any moment you feel as if it could sweep you away. The feeling, I would imagine, would be something along the lines of helplessness, right? David says, guys, if it had not been for the Lord, we would have been completely surrounded and overwhelmed by this enemy. It would have been too much for us to handle. We would have literally been helpless had it not been for the Lord. Picture number three, read on in verse 6. He says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. I've never actually seen this happen before, but I've seen it on TV, watching hunting shows and things like that, that if a predator would catch his prey, maybe a coyote were to catch a rabbit or something, most of the time he would catch the rabbit and then he would run off a little bit, and maybe the hunter would get his attention and they would put the camera on him and he would turn back and you could see that coyote there with that rabbit just clenched in his teeth. And you were not getting this out. The picture I have in my mind is Heidi's dog, Mia, at her parents' house. She has this little snowman toy. You can, you know, play fetch with her in the living room, but when she comes back to you, you can literally grab the toy and pick her up. She is not letting the toy go. I mean, it is literally just locked in her teeth, and she seriously will not let it go, and you have to peel it out. That's the image here. We would have been just hung up in their teeth. They would have clenched us so tightly that we would have had no chance of escape. We couldn't have gotten out of this alive, is what David is trying to paint in their mind. Verse 7, we've escaped like a bird, picture number 4, from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. I've never seen this done, but I understand that in their time, in this day and time, it would have been common for them to trap these types of birds, to use their feathers use the feathers for things and then use the bird for food. I understand that that was a common practice, but the idea is that when they were entangled in that snare, in that trap, there was no way of escape. And so what I think David is doing here, and I think it's really important for us to understand, is that David didn't want the children of Israel to downplay the danger and the threat when it came to the size of their victory. He was saying, yes, the only reason that we were victorious is because of the Lord. If it had been for us, if it was up to us, we would have been swallowed alive. We were no match. If it were up to us, then we would have been covered up, completely inundated and deluged by this flood water that would have been raging so quickly we couldn't have been able to handle it. And not only that, we would have been in their teeth. They would have had a grip on us, and we wouldn't have been able to do anything, just as if we were caught in a trap. There's nothing that we could have done if it had not been for the Lord. I look at this panic and this hysteria that's plaguing our world and our society right now and has been for the last week. And as I mentioned before, I don't want to paint this picture as if this disease or sickness that's going around is much more dangerous than it is. I know that it is dangerous to some individuals, but I don't want to downplay the danger. I want people to take necessary precautions. That's why so many people aren't here and why we're streaming live on Facebook, because people have been impacted by this and will be impacted by this. I don't want to downplay that, but what I want you to do is magnify God. I don't want you to forget that if it hadn't been for the Lord, all these times before, when our nation was put in times of panic, when the influenza outbreak happened, when all of these other outbreaks happened, all of these things that were proven to be overcomable, I guess is the word that comes to my mind. These things are conquerable because of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, how do I handle situations of hysteria and times of panic? I handle them in the Lord and because of the Lord, and I can go and move forward. I can be successful even though I might be laden with some sort of sickness or disease here on the earth. I know that in the grand scheme of things, I can be a conqueror and an overcomer because of the Lord. And that's what David wanted them to understand. The danger is real, but God is real, and He's capable, and He's dependable, and He deserves your trust. Number three, David says, number one, you should magnify God. Number two, consider the danger. It's actually a real threat, but just know that God's bigger. And then number three, he says, trust the Savior. Trust the Savior. Look at verse number eight one more time. He says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And so David returns back full circle to where he started, and he says, okay, first of all, I want everyone to know, and listen, let all of Israel say, let's magnify God. If it hadn't been for God, we would have been swallowed up, chewed up, overwhelmed, and we would have been undone. David says, and just know that just because we won doesn't mean that this danger wasn't real. It was. But remember, just trust the Lord. Our trust, our hope is in the name of God. Of the Lord. When we see that phrase, the name of the Lord, it entails a couple of things. Number one, I'm thankful that the name of the Lord has been revealed so that when we get in times like this, we can call on His name, that we can exercise the avenue of prayer by which we can approach God and we can tell Him the wants and the needs and the desires and the fears that are on our hearts. So when we say the name of the Lord, we ought to be extremely thankful that God has revealed His name to us so that we can call it. But number two, when we say the name of the Lord, what that entails is the nature of the Lord, the character of the Lord. It was customary for the Hebrews to have different names for the attributes of God. For instance, if we were talking about peace, they would have a different name of Jehovah for the God of peace. And if we're talking about protection, they would have a different name of Jehovah for the God of protection. It was customary for them to classify or categorize these characters or these attributes of God and call on that attribute when that situation arose. The name of the Lord, David says, you have the ability and the privilege to call on that name. But when you do and you understand that danger is around you, when you're faced or you are put under the assault of the flesh and the world and the devil, you can know that you can call on His name and that you can trust His name. That because of His multifaceted, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, omnipotent power, omnipotent ability, you can trust that God is going to make good on this, that God is going to have your back, that God is someone that you can trust in these situations. God is the Savior. And so when we look at what David is trying to say in conclusion to these series of verses is that, yes, God is the one who brought us this far. That doesn't mean the danger wasn't real, because it was. And oh, by the way, you can trust your God. Your help is in His name. His multifaceted character, His multifaceted nature is more than enough to conquer the situations and the things that you will endure. But did you know that's not just a picture of the Old Testament God? That God is not just pictured this way in the Old Testament, in that He fights for us. He fights for His children. He's pictured that way in the New Testament as well. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. And notice verse number, let's see, 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 8, not 1 Peter. 1 John 3 and verse 8. Read with me. It says, everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. But I want you to notice this phrase here, what is said about Jesus. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. When I read John's words, I get this picture in my mind that in along with destroying the works of the devil is the idea that Jesus is fighting with us to destroy those works. As we encounter them here on the earth, in the flesh, in this world, Jesus is actively fighting to combat that and to battle that on our behalf. Of course, he expects us to fight in that with him and not leave it all up to him. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is going to battle for his people. The picture is the same in Psalm 124. God went to battle for his people. And in these times of panic and hysteria, they knew that they could trust God and that God would do for them what was right and what was just, and that wherever they ended up, it was because God was on their side. Jesus, even in the New Testament, even in this Christian dispensation in which we're living now, we can trust in our Savior that he is going to battle for his people. And when we're assaulted by the world, and we're assaulted by the flesh, and when we're assaulted by hardships and difficulty and sicknesses and trials, we can trust and understand and know without a doubt, assuredly, that Jesus is going to battle for his children. That there is nothing that opposes him and nothing that opposes us at the end of the day will stand against Jesus. Nothing that opposes him and opposes his children will stand at the day of judgment. That Jesus is going to be victorious, and you and I can trust that. Now, it may not be right here. It may not be right now. These things that we endure may not go away tomorrow. They may not ever go away. But you can trust your Savior in that anything that opposes him and opposes his children has no chance. That God is victorious. God will be victorious. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side. I can think of a million situations where that statement rings true in my life. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't have been here preaching to you today. I wouldn't be here in Alabama with you as a family. I wouldn't be in preaching school. Whatever it is, I could go on and on and on of things in my life had it not been for the Lord. You as well. Had it not been for the Lord, you wouldn't have made it that far in your career, or you may not have even been in that career. Whatever it is, you and I understand the meaning and the significance behind David's words, had it not been the Lord. But I want you to understand, as we move forward in this time of our nation's confusion and panic, what they need from you as a Christian is for you to magnify God, is for you to say, yes, this foe is formidable. It is dangerous to those who are in the path of this, those who are susceptible to catching these various diseases and sicknesses. The danger is formidable, but God is capable. God is capable. Magnify him and trust him in this time. That's what the world needs from you as a Christian. That's how we ought to respond had it not been for the Lord. As you're here this morning and you ponder your life and you ponder all the situations that you've endured, maybe the way that you've handled them successfully, maybe the way that you haven't handled them so successfully, I believe in each of those situations what we could say is, if it hadn't been for the Lord. In those situations where I didn't handle them correctly, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I may have never grown from it. I may have never learned from it. In the situations where I did handle them successfully, had it not been for the Lord, I might not have done it right. You can look back at your life and say, you know what? I need to do better at acknowledging God. David says, let all of Israel say with me. I want us all to know that we would never be in this position if it weren't for God. We never would have experienced the joy and bliss of victory had it not been for God. Maybe this morning what you need to do is recommit yourself to praising him for his capability and his dependability and our ability to trust, the opportunity we have to trust in him. Maybe it is that you've never committed your life to him. You've never committed your life to him. And you say, you know what? I've been overwhelmed. I've panicked. I've been faced with real dangers and real threats. What I'm telling you this morning is that there is no one greater, no one more capable of facing and conquering the danger of sin and the threats that sin bring than Jesus. Why not bring your life to him this morning? Why not confess his sweet name before men and let him confess you before his Father? Why not put off the old life, right? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Why not make that commitment to the Lord this morning and say at the end of the day, at the end of time, when you look back and you see where you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you can look back on times such as this week when everyone was panicking and everyone was confused and we were faced with a threat and we were faced with danger. We can look back and say, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord. If we can help you in any way this morning, we beg you to come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.